For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fried chicken, also known as Southern fried chicken, although we would never say that here, it's just fried chicken, which is simply breaded chicken parts that have been deep fried. Now, that's the simple way of putting it, but the path to getting the meat to retain juices and the breading seasoned perfectly to add crispiness and flavor, that is worth a discussion. Meet us at the table as we discuss fried chicken.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table. So pull up a chair.
Welcome back to the table that we have moved back from the Franklin Theater where we positioned it last week in front of 300 people. That was just the wildest experience we've had to date.
So fun. Yeah, the table legs got all dusted off and cleaned and made shiny so it would look good on the stage.
It looked so pretty up there. So yes, if you were there live and in person, you got to see it. But hopefully you got to catch our episode last week with our interview. And I wanted to mention that we also launched merch for the event.
Cute merch.
Really cute merch.
Cozy merch.
The coziest sweatshirt ever.
That was the feedback. People were sending me a couple pictures in it or like, this is the comfiest sweatshirt I've ever owned. I'm like, it's not just a cute color.
It is.
It's a cozy.
Really cute color. It's a kind of a deep bluish greenish color.
Tealish.
It's called Atlantic Green. That's the sweatshirt. We have a t-shirt and we have a tea towel, all with our signature Peace Be With Y'all monogram on
that
there.
That tea towel's Christmassy though, and it is precious.
So cute.
So yeah, all of it's cool.
For those that were not able to be at our event, we are going to make those available to you to purchase online. You can do that now through our website. So I'll put the link in the show notes if anybody wants to pick those up for yourself or for a gift this season.
Yeah.
Okay. How in the world have we not done an episode in four seasons on fried chicken?
So this was your idea. And I'm like, have we not done that yet in 4 years?
Well,
I guess not.
You know, it comes up, but we've never done a dedicated episode on it. So
there's a lot to go over. And I'm still learning, y'all, by the way.
Well, I'm looking to her as the one that's going to talk about the specifics on actually frying it. But I'm just curious, what do you, just before we even get in, like, what do you think of when you hear or think of fried chicken?
Oh, I love that question. I think of Sunday supper, like a heavier meal, you know, on a relaxed day. And I don't think I'm alone in thinking of Sunday supper because I even think about certain menus like at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah.
They have Sunday fried chicken like on Sunday. That's something that they don't have the other days of the week.
Yeah.
And I've seen that on other menus where they'll call it Sunday fried chicken.
That's
so funny.
And I'm
like, that's so fun. But that's what I think of.
Yeah.
Is like an after church meal
on
a relaxed afternoon.
Right. Which we've done an episode on Sunday dinner.
Yes.
Which is lunch.
And I picture
and Sunday supper is
like
dinner.
On a table in a on a platter or in a bucket. Like, you know, like I think of it like how it all is just positioned together, not on an individual plate.
Right.
For some reason, that's how I visualize
it. Yeah. Like the turkey at Thanksgiving, basically.
Yeah.
Like presentation is big and Well, I'm with you. I think of it as like comfort food, definitely.
For sure.
I think of The Help. I know I mention movies on here a lot, but I just think of that scene.
Many don't burn no chicken.
That's exactly the quote that I have in my notes here. But the scene that comes from is so cute because it's, you know, so Minnie being the maid, the help, and she had been doing all the cooking for the white woman, and she'd been keeping it a secret from the husband of the house. And the white woman says, oh, well, he might figure out that I've not been, that I've been doing all this cooking because he knows I can't cook. So maybe we should burn some. And that's when Minnie says, Minnie don't burn no chicken. So it's, I love that movie so much. And then I think of just some of the, I'm going to call them fads of fried chicken being incorporated into she sorts of restaurants, the chicken and waffles.
Okay.
Or do you know what I mean?
Oh, for that's, sure. Which I do like chicken and waffles, by the way.
But it feels, but, yeah. I don't know if chicken and waffles is going to stand the test of time. Like, it feels a little bit like
trendy. You?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's fair.
And KFC.
That's, I think, the of other KFC. Thing you think of?
Yes. Yes. So.
Well, that's a.
We'll get into that later.
Okay.
So let's just talk. You've fried chicken. You even fried chicken in celebration of our live event celebration that we had last week.
That's right.
And even that's kind of a funny thing. A lot of people now, the trendy thing is to have champagne and fried chicken. Did you know that?
Oh, I can see that. But no, I still think of a Pinot Noir when I think of fried chicken for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. So we you know, we were kind of doing a little double celebration. I had a birthday at the end of October, and we just wanted to sort of have a coming together of yes. the post-event time from the podcast. So you fried chicken this past week.
I did. And I can go over my process, but like I said, I'm still learning. And it really encourages me sometimes when I've seen like interviews of a Sean Brock or somebody who you think of as mastered yeah. all things Southern cooking. And he says it still keeps him up at night sometimes thinking wow. about how to, you know, get it just right.
Sure, sure.
And I loved your intro in that you do want the moisture on the inside, mm-hmm. but the breading right on the outside. And that's not an easy thing
well, that's,
to master.
I got that from watching you and your process this week. I could tell you were trying to master both of those things.
Yeah.
So, and we
sometimes
do,
it does better than others that I can't always measure either. Like, what was it that made it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's too many factors.
Do the thing, but anyway.
We did do some video that I'll either do an Instagram reel or do something with of your
showing a
preparation.
Few of the
yeah, so
things.
If you're not already, follow us on Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast. That's where I'll be putting up some of that stuff
see
this week.
More of that. Well, let's start, I guess, with buying chicken.
At the grocery store, what yeah. are we buying?
So I do find now, not to go negative, because this is uplifting conversations about life in the South, but it's really hard to get things the way you want them sometimes in the grocery store when the employees don't really want to be there.
Yeah, they don't care and they don't know.
So even, meaning like the person behind the meat counter doesn't mm-hmm. really want to have to cut meat for some reason, it seems to me, on the few times that I've had to ask for something.
Wow.
It's not every single one.
Right.
But often that's the case. And so we're in a world of people liking a lot of boneless chicken now.
Yes.
And Lainey don't cook no boneless chicken if she's frying it.
Yeah.
Many may not burn any, but I want bone in. Because bone in chicken is way more flavorful.
Right.
That's than not, boneless.
That's not a Lainey preference. You can ask any chef.
That is that, just truth.
And they will... Yes.
That's just truth. That's I'm just sorry.
Gospel truth.
That
right
ain't
there.
My truth. That is the truth.
Okay. So you're saying even talking to the butcher about cutting up a whole chicken because it's hard to find the bone in already prepped out on the shelves.
Sometimes.
Is that what you're saying?
So I used to see where you would see like a long rectangular platter that mm-hmm. had two legs, two thighs, two wings,
yeah.
You know, the breast.
Yeah, the breast.
Like, come
yeah.
on. You know, that's just what you want or mm-hmm. those parts.
Mm-hmm.
And so now what I typically see, if they have bone-in chicken,
okay,
it's like, here's four humongous breasts. Here's
yes.
six or eight thighs.
So you're getting all of one part. Okay.
And so if you're wanting to cook for a crowd that likes different parts.
Right.
I'm at like $60 because I've just had to buy.
You've invested so much in each. Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. That many of everything right. instead of like a chicken cut up.
So really hard to find the parts for a
getting
family.
Getting harder too.
Or like you, it'd be like for a huge crowd. You could right. do that. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
And then sometimes they'll have a whole chicken, but then the person behind the meat counter, and I'm not using the word butcher because I don't think they think of themselves as that.
Mm-hmm.
A butcher obviously will do it for you.
Sure.
But this person that's just.
Yeah. They just are there to tag the meat, they yeah. think. Or, yes. Yeah, that's kind of their inventory.
They don't want to have to cut that up. Yeah. And in all truthfulness, I don't want to have to do it either because I don't right. really know what I'm doing.
Exactly. Like,
and I have said this on the podcast before. I get a little grossed out with cartilage and
sure.
bones and things that I
think a lot of people, I would say so, the same. A lot of
so
people.
So I like it already cut up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So okay, but so let's say we found what
we
want.
You've got your bone in parts of chicken. Yes. Hopefully a variety.
Yes. And so I think one of the important steps in frying chicken is to get that moisture to stay inside, you need to put it in a brine.
Okay.
And there's lots of different recipes for different brines out there. But think like the difference of, you know, when you go to Chick-fil-A and how moist that chicken is?
So moist, yes.
They have it in a brine.
Okay.
They use some kind of a pickle brine.
Okay. There. I didn't know that. Okay.
And so that's why it's so moist.
It's so moist, yeah. So you're talking about a wet brine.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, a wet brine mm-hmm. that is mostly salt-based
okay.
because the salt gets in there and makes it hold moisture.
Nice. Okay.
And so I'm happy to share the recipe I use,
yeah.
but mine is lemons, bay leaves, flat-leaf parsley, thyme, clover honey, garlic, black peppercorns, kosher salt. And
so
water.
All of that's in a big old pot.
Yes. And you bring it all to a boil.
Yeah.
The recipe I have is for 2 gallons that is for cooking 10 pounds of chicken. So I usually don't make that much.
Okay. Did you make about half that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So when they see this online, I'm just giving yeah. reference point for that. Okay. And this is at least a day in advance, right?
Yeah. So that's one of the things, too, is you can't really spring fried chicken on no. me because I need at yeah. least a 2-day yeah. process yeah. to get all of this together. So once you put it in this brine, well, okay, you make the brine, you bring it to a boil, but you let it cool completely all the way down because you wouldn't want to put meat in hot brine because mm-hmm.
it's going to start cooking. Yeah.
So let it cool all the way down. And then you're going to put your chicken in that for up to 12 hours.
And are we putting it in the fridge?
And you're putting it in the fridge.
For up to 12 hours?
For up to okay. 12 hours in that brine. Not longer than that or it's going to start getting too salty.
Okay.
But 12 hours is good. And that's what I did was okay. exactly 12 hours. So okay. I let it cool down. I put the chicken in at like 10 at night,
mm-hmm.
knowing that
yeah.
by 10 the next morning I could
okay.
take it out.
Okay.
So then you completely discard all that brine. It's going to be kind of gunk, you know,
yeah.
yucky looking. Get rid of all of that. Clean your chicken off. Because
like
sometimes
rinse them,
little
rinse them
bits
off.
Of bay yeah. leaves or peppercorns are stuck on it.
Yeah.
So you clean all of that off. And then in my situation, I wasn't cooking it till the afternoon. So I cleaned it all off and then put it back in the fridge.
Okay. But it's ready to go to start cooking at that point.
Yes. And no matter what you're doing with chicken, you can brine it. Like if you're roasting
sure,
it or
sure.
whatever, it's going to help.
Yes.
Because now it's got
now
that
it's
moisture
moist.
In there.
Then I love this next part because I think this is so pro. Talk about your bowl system.
Okay. Well, so the next thing I want to say, though, is it's good to get your chicken down to room temperature before you start doing the next thing.
Okay.
And that can take like an hour.
Yeah.
So leave it just sitting out
okay.
for about an hour.
Okay.
So it's getting back down to room temperature. And then I do this little bowl system. So I have 3 bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Bowl 1 and 3 are for the breading. And okay. bowl 2 is for my buttermilk.
Okay.
And so what I do is I put flour and then my seasonings mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whatever, if you have a recipe that you like better, just however you want to do it, you can still do this bowl system if you would like. But I do flour, garlic powder, onion powder, paprika, cayenne, a little salt and pepper, and I do the same amounts in bowls, 1 and 3.
Okay.
Just mix it up.
Okay.
And so the flour still looks pretty white.
Sure.
But maybe you might see a little bit of speckles in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
With those flavors. So I'll take the chicken part, put it in bowl one, kind of gets a little coating on there. Mm-hmm. And then I dip it in the buttermilk, mm-hmm. which is now kind of sealing that in mm-hmm. a little bit. Let some of that drip off and then put it in bowl three for more.
For it to stick to now, even better.
Yeah. Flour so that it's really nice and yeah. covered.
Yeah.
And then I'll just sit it on a piece of parchment paper or something ready to go in the hot oil when
right.
the oil's hot.
Right.
Do that with all your pieces.
Yep.
And then we're going to start to put it in the oil.
Yep.
Now, to put it in the oil, you want your oil already hot.
What oil? What's the oil?
Good question. So the oil that you can use, peanut oil, canola oil, vegetable oil. Some people like lard.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, just a
yeah
shortening or a Crisco uh-huh. or something like that. I used vegetable oil the other day because okay. that's what I had.
Okay.
But I have used canola or peanut before too.
Okay.
And some people like to cook it like in a deep fryer. I don't have a deep fryer.
Right.
So I use I fill my braiser
mm-hmm.
dish with about a third to a half of the depth of it mm-hmm. with oil.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to have to cook one side and then flip.
Yeah. So okay. it's literally boiling hot, right? Do you have
you
a temperature gauge that you put in?
I do have a little temperature gauge, and you want it at about 320 degrees.
Wow.
So really
okay.
hot.
Okay.
So have an apron on.
Yeah.
And have your,
yeah.
you know, it's going to sometimes
splatter
a little. There's no way around that, really.
Okay.
So you get your oil hot, and I will say that the dark meat and the smaller pieces are going to cook faster.
True.
Than your big breast. True. White meat pieces are going to cook. So I like to do all of one mm-hmm. and then maybe crank the heat up even a little more
okay.
to get it even hotter for the
what's your
meat pieces.
What's your estimation on a smaller to medium piece on how long it would cook? How long total it would fry? Are we talking 10 minutes?
So typically it'll say like, if you look at a recipe, it'll say 7 or 8 minutes each side.
Okay.
I cook it longer than that
okay.
usually.
And you can always get a
looking at it
meat thermometer to check.
Yeah. You want, once it's out and you put a meat thermometer into the center, you want it at like 165.
Mm-hmm.
That's
standard. Yeah.
So just for safety.
And so for a big piece, we're talking, what, 25 minutes?
A while.
30 minutes,
so
maybe?
I guess a deep fryer might be faster because it's going all the way in, whereas
yeah.
I'm having to flip.
Yeah, that's going to play into the KFC story I'm going to share here in a minute. Yeah,
okay.
yeah. It seriously, it's time is of the essence for a lot of these places. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that's what I do. And then I like to have a paper towel lined.
Like a baking sheet or
baking
something?
Baking sheet
yeah.
to soak up some of the oil when I mm-hmm. put it out on mm-hmm. that. And
you did such a pretty job putting it on a plate with like fresh herbs, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah,
just
they
kind of
sell a little, I think they call it poultry.
The poultry
blend
herbs.
Or something.
Yeah.
And it
yes.
has the thyme, rosemary, and sage. And it does look pretty
it's
on
very
the plate
pretty.
Or platter that you put it on.
Well, it was delicious.
Good.
Eat it with your hands. No need to put out serving knives.
I love that you
knives.
Say that because we had Miss Rachel from England here who hasn't probably had a ton of fried chicken.
Mm-hmm.
And she asked for a knife. And I'm like, happy to get you a knife. But just so you know, it's perfectly fine to pick up fried chicken
yes.
and eat it with your hands.
Yes. I wonder. Yeah. I mean, okay. So let me just start talking about the international sort of touch that she might have had. I saw plenty of KFCs when I was in Europe, in Spain.
I believe KFC is the largest or most numerous fast food in the world.
That sounds about right.
And the Asians love KFC. It is the by far most popular fast food you'll see throughout China.
Wow. And,
yeah, they love it.
So we're talking Kentucky Fried Chicken, the iconic old man with his glasses.
Colonel Sanders.
White goatee. Yeah, so Colonel Sanders, he had a troubled childhood. And after losing his father at just the age of 5, his mom had to go to work to provide for their family. And therefore, he started taking care of his siblings.
Okay.
And so he was cooking a lot.
Yeah.
She showed him, you know,
the basics,
ways to cook and things to make, but he was cooking more than the average 10, 11-year-old kid was. And so he actually left home at age 12 to work on a farm. And then he went through lots of jobs trying to figure out what he was going to do or probably see what could make him the most money. I don't know. He was a painter. He was a fireman, a plowman, a streetcar conductor, a ferry boat operator, an insurance salesman, justice of the peace, and a service station operator. How's that for a resume?
Wow, I thought I'd tried a lot of things.
So we are talking about a little area of Kentucky that is Corbin, Kentucky. It was 1929, and he opened his, it was really a gas station, and that was where he began to cook for the occasional customer in the back room. There just kind of started to be a need for food while filling up. And so he knew how to cook. And so he started doing this. Now, as somebody sitting here at age 41, it's very interesting to me to hear that Colonel Sanders really got cracking at about age 49.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because you heard all the list of jobs that those weren't all 6 month stints, you know? And so, yeah. So if you look at when KFC was incorporated, he was 65.
Wow.
He lived to age 90. So he did see a good bit of its, you know, wild success. But back to the gas station, where it's taking him around 30 minutes to cook fried chicken.
Okay.
Which was a significant problem for Kirk.
Yeah, I mean, but that's normal.
Right.
How are you going to do it quickly when somebody's on a lunch break?
Exactly. Or when they're just there they thought they were here for gas, but, oh, you've got food, I'll wait and get some fried chicken. Oh, it's going to be 30 minutes, now I'm late, you know, kind of a thing. But that was his most popular menu item, was the fried chicken. And so to tackle this problem, right, necessity is the motherhood of inventions.
That's right.
He used a pressure cooker instead of deep frying the chicken, and that cut down the time to about 8 to 9 minutes, and it helped him sell more fried chicken. So he continued to experiment with his chicken recipe, and in 1938, he finally perfected the fried chicken recipe. The recipe included 11 herbs and spices, which to this day are guarded as a secret by KFC. And as of this year, 2022, there are at least 25,000 KFC restaurants in 145 countries.
Wow.
That is like the American dream.
It really is.
So
I love
amazing.
That it was birthed out of a gas station, because I'm telling you, there's some gas stations with some good fried chicken.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I've also thought about, like, sometimes when you've walked in a gas station and you leave smelling like...
Uh-huh. Yes.
They've been frying foods
yes.
in there. Like, there's no way around that smell sometimes.
So just while we're on the sort of the topic of chain restaurants, I did want to mention Popeyes also has extremely good fried chicken. They're a chain. Publix grocery stores
for
have
real
really
they
good
have,
fried chicken.
They're known for their fried chicken. It's funny that you mentioned that he said 30 minutes, because I went to get some bone-in fried chicken. They do both. They do the tenders that are boneless.
Yeah,
they're not as good. I'm telling you.
Yeah,
get Publix's bone-in fried chicken.
Yeah.
But I went in and they were out of it, and they said, we'll have more in 30 minutes.
Oh, how funny.
And I was like, well, I guess I'll get a couple groceries. Like, uh-huh. I wasn't planning on it, but.
You're like, well, at least I know I'm doing it right.
That's right.
And then Man, I miss so bad Mrs. Winner's biscuits.
Oh, are those chicken nowhere now?
So, well, just in, you know, in thinking back, any gathering where chicken was being brought to something, whether it was a family gathering or a soccer after game sort of picnic or whatever, we brought Mrs. Winner's a lot. That's when so I was cute. Growing up. And so, and they had the most amazing biscuits and gravy. But in thinking through this episode, I was like, where are Mrs. Winner's now? Like, are they completely gone? Because ours have, the one we had in Brentwood was, has been gone for a long time. And it looks like they are trying to make a little bit of a resurgence.
Okay.
There are locations, and I'll link to them in the show notes. Tennessee only has one right now, and it's in Cleveland. That's close to Chattanooga. But Georgia had a handful of them. And, you know, there was, you know, 20, 25 locations that I saw smatterings of. So they are still out there. So if you are near one and you haven't tried Mrs. Winner's, that's my choice for sure. But
now Memphis birthed a great fried chicken joint too.
Yes. Not a chain in the chain that we're talking about. Not like
KFC, but Gus's
fried chicken.
Don't they call it world famous fried chicken?
They do. And it tops a lot of lists if you look on different, you know, who's got the best restaurant Southern fried chicken. Barbecue Inn out of Houston, Texas is one that I found on couple of lists that's supposedly really good, as well as Martha Lou's Kitchen in Charleston and Willie Mae's Scotch House in New Orleans.
Okay. Popeyes didn't make anybody's list.
Well, I'm just talking about kind of the individual, not the big chain.
Oh, gotcha. But gotcha.
Those, yeah, but no.
I feel like I've heard of Martha Lou's.
Popeyes and Publix and KFC are always on people's lists. Yeah. There's a Southern Living list that includes lots of different categories of good fried chicken. So, like, hip new places that are doing fried chicken, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Husk here in Nashville is kind of supposed to be really good for their fried chicken, I think.
Yeah. Oh, right. For sure. Yeah. So that's Sean Brooks. Yeah.
Well, we got no shame if you want to just go pick up some yummy fried chicken and put some sage and thyme and rosemary.
That's right.
And act like you did it.
That's right. Or if you want to serve it with waffles. If you're making it with doing the chicken and waffles like we described.
I do think that there's something so wonderful about the salty fried chicken with the sweetness of syrup.
I get that. And you do put syrup on it, just like you would if you were just eating a waffle.
And, you know, we've mentioned, we did an episode on sorghum. Mm-hmm. And sorghum is what Sean Brock brines his chicken in.
Okay.
When he makes fried chicken, he does a salt sorghum brine. And I have one recipe. I did it once. I didn't like it as much, but it was molasses salt brine.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try it. And it was good, but I like just a salty, lemony brine.
No,
I really like the lemon to come through.
Talk about filling. Oh my goodness. Fried chicken alone can fill you up.
Well, that's another reason. For some reason, I think it's perfect on a Sunday. It's just feels like the day you want to have a big meal and then take a little short nap.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, that sounds wonderful even now. We also need to mention Nashville hot chicken.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, I think you and I kind of still think it's funny to hear Nashville associated with hot chicken, but alas, here we are.
Yeah.
We have a lot of foods in this city, but for some reason, Nashville hot chicken has risen to the top and become what we are known for. Fried chicken that the African American community has taken to the next level is really what we're talking about as the origins of hot chicken.
Yeah.
And that's just cayenne pepper making it hot. It literally comes out with a reddish hue.
100% like reddish hue. And I looked up a recipe just to see how do they make that, because it looks like it's thick.
Sure.
And now I know how. So this recipe that I have here from this cookbook is Nashville hot based. And it's 3 tablespoons of cayenne pepper, 2 tablespoons of light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of paprika, 1 tablespoon of onion powder. But this is what I thought was so fascinating. All of that with 1 cup of the hot frying oil from your batch of fried chicken.
Oh.
So you're putting more oil on it. Which is, and it's going to be red because once you've put all that cayenne and everything in there.
Yeah.
And it's liquid. So it's almost like you're painting it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
With this spice. And I know at Prince's, they have different degrees of heat.
Yes.
And I think medium is what they recommend
if you're newbie.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You know.
I would be on the lightest of lights.
But they do not just hot, but extra hot.
Yeah.
And I know I'm out.
No, I would be that like Dumb and Dumber moment where they're just, they've had the red hots that they're squirting their tongue with mustard. It's so hot. And you mentioned Prince's. Prince's is the original hot chicken
of Nashville
that's been serving chicken for over 70 years. In 2013, the James Beard Foundation named Prince's as an American classic, which is an award that designates a restaurant with timeless appeal. And what's funny about Prince's is their hours are 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and the line at 10 p.m. is usually
the longest of the day.
Oh my way gosh, longer than
that's
lunchtime.
Hysterical.
There is a national fried chicken festival, which just happened last month in New Orleans. So it's an annual event. It's just about their fifth year, I believe. But it happens annually now in New Orleans. And Andre Prince Jeffries, the sort of matriarch of Prince's, she was given an award to commemorate her career with the 2022 Culinary Icon Award just last month at that festival. So I wanted to mention a big congrats to them.
That's very cool.
I'm glad to see them getting the recognition that they deserve.
Awesome.
For pioneering Nashville hot chicken.
I saw an Anthony Bourdain one time episode where he was eating the extra hot.
Mm-mm.
And was like begging for milk because it was just so crazy hot.
Oh my gosh.
So be careful, seriously.
Yeah.
If you're trying to show out in front of your friends, that's no small thing.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's very much some pride for some people, but you know, yeah, I would take their degrees seriously.
That's right.
That can hurt.
Well, but there is just something so nourishing and comforting in feeding people.
Oh yeah.
That kind of nostalgic food. And I think that is probably the most iconic Southern food. Mm-hmm. Barbecue too, but there's just something about fried chicken that just says the South.
It does. It does. And we love just what you were just implying, that it's usually made to feed a group or a family or, you know.
Yep. A gathering.
People gathered around a table. So what better symbol of Southern hospitality than that, right? Well, finally, we can check this off of our list of topics. We are officially a Southern podcast now, right? We've covered fried chicken. If you haven't already, like I mentioned, follow us on Instagram at Steel Magnolias Podcast. We'll be posting some photos and videos this week, just of fun fried chicken
tips,
videos,
things I'm still learning, but
yeah. And check out our new merch. I'll link to the shop, and we just can't wait to see some of you guys once you get your sweatshirts and tea towels to see them hanging in your own home.
That's right. Please share those photos with us.
Yes.
It's fun to see.
Yes.
Well, peace be with you, Laura Beth.
Thank you. And also with y'all.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.